Welcome to The Liberating Secret. My name is Sylvia Pierce, and I'm so glad you're with us today. We're studying a new series. Actually, this is the first part of the new series. The first thing that we did last week was on the basic goals of Christ Our Life Ministries. And so now we're really actually starting the first emphasis, and we're going to talk about God. And how do we ever talk about God Almighty, the God we serve, the God we love, the God we worship, the God we praise? How can we ever talk? He's too big, too vast, too wonderful, too mighty, and too knowable. And I will say that Old Testament prophets knew him, but yet the Old Testament people only knew him as some thundering God on a mountaintop. But yet we get to know him personally through the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome God we serve. Now, how in the world can I ever bring a series and bring all that there is to know about God? You know what I heard somebody say one time? You can't really know God. You just be him. And I know what they mean by that. It's not that we don't know him. We do know him. But the way we know him is that we see his mighty works done through us by his Holy Spirit. So in a way, that is true. How do we know this God any other way except he lives in us, he indwells us, he is our God, and he expresses his very life and very nature out through us. So, but let's just discuss who God is, this awesome God. And I love that song, Our God is an Awesome God. I love singing it, although I'm not much of a singer. My son started whistling that early this morning, and I realized that that's exactly what we were talking about today. He didn't know it, but our spirits are always on the same page, as he says. Well, let's talk about this God. He is the one person in the universe. God Almighty, there's only one person in the whole universe, and that's God Almighty. Can we grasp that? Can we just grasp that? You know, I think if we would just soak in what we're saying here today, because this is so big and so vast, that if your mind can't comprehend everything, just let your spirit hear what we're saying, that there's only one person in the whole universe, and that is God Almighty. And let's read some scriptures that say that, because that's a pretty big statement, that God Almighty is the one person or the one God in the whole universe. Let's start with Isaiah chapter 44, verse 8. It says this, and it's the end of the verse. I'm not going to read the whole verse. Is there a God besides me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. So there is no other God other than God Almighty. And so the false gods that the heathen worshipped and in the Old Testament, and the world worships, because if we're not worshiping God Almighty, we're worshiping something, some form of his creation, and making the creation greater than God himself. So there is no other God except God Almighty. Now let's look at chapter 45 of Isaiah. It says, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee that thou hast not known me, that they have known from the rising of the sun and the west that there is none besides me. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Pretty strong, isn't it? And then this last verse in Isaiah 46, verse 9, it says, remember the former days of old, for I am God, there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from the ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. So God Almighty is this one mighty person in the whole universe. And why do I call him a person? He is God. Well, he has created us persons in his very image. So he himself is person, because we cannot be a son of God being a person and him being something else. So he has created us persons, and we are sons of God, the redeemed, that is, the redeemed of the Lord, are sons of God. So, he himself is a person. Well, what is a person? A person is one who wills. Does he will? Yes. He has an almighty will. And does he know? Yes, he knows all things. And does he love? Yes, he loves. He loves his creation. He loves it so much that he is the sacrificial lamb that would lay his life down for the creation. So God is not self-serving, he's self-sacrificing. So we would say this, that God's Almighty's nature is one of self-giving, total self-giving. It's agape love. It's love that, and sacrificial love that he would say, I would sacrifice my whole being, would sacrifice my very son, and so that you might find salvation. And yet the nature, and the Bible tells us in Peter that we have, the redeemed of the Lord, have the divine nature. So we've got the divine nature living in us, the same agape love living in us, because Christ lives in us, and that's who he is. But he is not self-serving. So if you're a Christian and you're still just serving yourself, you're not living in who you really are. You're operating and living in who you're not. And because the one that lives in you, the nature that the new nature that's in you, is totally self-sacrificing. Remember what John the Baptist said of Jesus when after he baptized him and he was going on his way, John the Baptist pointed to him and says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." Now think of that for a minute. He is a little helpless lamb, but almighty, almighty God, a little helpless lamb. So he has submitted himself to self-sacrificing. So within his own will, he has chosen to be a self-sacrificing God and not be a self-serving God. Now we know that Satan is the god of this world. Now in the Bible, you will always see that written with a little g. Well, this little g, he is the god of this world, but he is the one that's self-serving. He is the one that everything is about him, about me. And basically, his nature is me, for me, for me. And the hell with you. That's exactly the nature of Satan. So it doesn't matter what nice cloak he puts on or how religious he might look. His whole attitude is about serving himself and getting for himself, because he is not another, he cannot be another lover, because he is fixed forever in being a self-serving person or God, or actually he was a cherubim and he's called the God of this world. But God Almighty is called a lamb. He is called the one that would self-sacrifice himself to be for the world. So God Almighty is love, self-sacrificing love. And he is self-existent. I mean, there's none beside him. The Bible says that. We just read those scriptures. And he is creator of all things. And you know, there's a verse in Proverbs that says that the fool says in his heart, there is no God. So what fools are we when we say there is no God? So actually, the atheist himself is really a foolish person that would say there is no God. Because even the very creation says that there is God. I mean, if we want to turn to Romans chapter 1, look what it says in Romans chapter 1. It says, because that which was known of God is manifested in them. God talking about his wrath being poured out onto all unrighteousness. That because that which was known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it to them. Okay, these are people that are unsaved. How has he shown himself in us? For the invisible things of him, the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. How are they clearly seen? Being understood by the things which are made, even the eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So there's so many people that say, what about the poor people somewhere that has never heard about God? Nonsense. Even creation itself testifies of God. There is a book I once read. It's called Eternity is in Every Man's Heart. And actually, that's a scripture from Ecclesiastes. It's chapter 3, verse 11. We might want to turn to that right now because I think that's worth looking at. It says this in verse 3. It says, "For he hath set eternity in their hearts, in every man's hearts." Eternity is every man's heart. So it's foolish to think that men, oh my goodness, they've not heard of Jesus Christ. Well, you know, it says that God's wrath is turned against all unrighteousness because basically man has served and worshiped the creation in some form or another until he finally sees and worships the Creator. You know, in this book, I was getting ready to tell you, it says that there was a Aztec king centuries ago, and they worshiped the sun. And the sun was their god. And one day he was looking at the sun, and all of a sudden he thought, that can't be God. There's got to be a God that actually created that sun. He said, that's the one we're going to worship. Now, he's closer to knowing the truth. Now, if even a foreign person in a foreign country gets that close to say, no, wait, there's got to be something invisible behind the visible, an invisible spirit that is creating all, that has created all things. You see, God will move heaven and hell to get the gospel to those people. So don't you worry about the people that have not actually heard about Jesus Christ yet. Because no man is really without excuse. Because even eternity is in every man's heart, calling us back to God Almighty. So that's how big God is. God is so big. God is a creator of all things. Now, look at Colossians 1:16. I love Colossians. It's one of my favorite little epistles of Paul. And Paul says this about Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity, who is God Almighty, and who created the world by his word. John says that, not 1 John. We'll read that in a minute. Let me read Colossians first before I get distracted again. It says, who is the image of the invisible God? Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And by him were all things created, by his word. And I do need to go back to John. First chapter of John, it says this. It says, all things were made by him. First of all, he's called the word. It says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was God. And the Word was God, and he was in the beginning with God. So Jesus was in the beginning with God. And it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was not made. So Colossians says this, and this gets me excited. It does. For by him, Jesus, were all things created. Why in the world do we worship creation? Why not worship the Creator who created all things? The creation is only an outer form, an outer manifestation of what the Creator, who the invisible Spirit, because God is Spirit, God is uncreated, created. God is not created, God's uncreated, but he created out of his own word. And then it says, and that are in heaven, for by him are all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible. What's invisible? Whether they be thrones, invisible principalities and powers, that's not, he created all principalities and powers. He did not create the devils to be devils. He created them to be his angelic realm. And the devils are fallen angels. So he did not create them fallen. That happened from their own free choice. But he first created them. He created thrones and dominions and principalities and all the powers. And all things were created for him and by him. So all things were created for him. And he that is before all things and by him, all things consist. So everything in the whole universe consists through God, through His Spirit. So His Spirit permeates the whole universe and is omnipresent and in all things. But yet people say, oh my goodness, Sylvia, and theologians will say this to me, well, gosh, that sounds like a pantheism. Pantheism makes the things God. No, creation is not God. That's the first sin. That's the sin of Romans chapter 1, because it says in Romans chapter 1 that unrighteous man changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the creator. That's pantheism. That's worshiping creation. That's why they had idols. They worshiped stone gods, you see, or sun gods or moon gods, or they worship, it's always a form of creation, but man even worships man. So that's a form of worshiping the creation more than the creator. So, and it's the creator that all things consist by him and through him and created for him. And it says, and he is the head of the body, the church. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. It all dwells within the Son, because the God Almighty is not just God the Father. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And all three are God Almighty in unity and in one form. They're one, and yet they're Trinity as well. They're, God also, and there's so many verses that say this, is all-powerful. There's hundreds of verses that say this throughout the Bible. See, the problem is we won't give God his due. He's created all things. He has the sovereign will over all things. He is all-powerful. See, we, through the fall, think that we're all-powerful. We think that we can accomplish and be the all-sufficient one. We're really trying to be like God, and we're certainly going to talk about that, because that really is that was the fall of Satan, and that's the same deception that he has put inside of man. So man goes around trying to act like what only God is. Only God is all-powerful. Only God is self-sufficient. Only God is independent. Only God is self-existent. Only God himself is, because there's only one person in the universe that's almighty, God. And if we look at Genesis chapter 17, and this is an incident about Abraham. It's right before his name was changed. He was first called Abram before his name was changed to Abraham. In chapter 17, this is what God says to him. Okay. And when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abram. He still didn't have his name changed. And said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Right there is I am El Shaddai. Now, you know, Amy Grant sings that song, El Shaddai. That's one of my favorites. I love that song. Basically, is I am, it really means, El Shaddai means the many-breasted one. Well, it's female, really. But what it means is I'm the all-sufficient one. I'm the fruitful one. I'm the one that will bear for you. I'm the one that will bring forth the son that you're wanting. That's what he's really saying. And it says, walk before me and be thou perfect. And Abraham did do that through his life, because he ended up with perfect faith, and that's walking before him perfectly. So God Almighty is the all-sufficient one, is the one with all power. Okay, Jeremiah 32:13. Let's look up that scripture. Jeremiah 32, it says this. Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. All powerful. Nothing is too hard for me. I love that verse in Luke 1:37 that says, nothing is impossible to God. Jesus said that. Jesus said, nothing's possible with man, but all things are possible with God. All right, now we have to know how to be connected with this all-powerful one. And we can know that through Jesus Christ. We can know that through our union with Christ. This one who is the Creator joined himself to Jesus Christ when he was born in Bethlehem, and through his death, burial, and resurrection, and our acceptance of that of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, we can too know God. We can know him inside of ourselves, and not just some exterior God that's way off, that inhabits eternity, because the Bible says that he inhabits eternity, but he also invades time, because he is ever present in every situation. He's all present in every situation. He's omnipresent because he's spirit. And we think in time and space terms. So if he's there, he can't be here. So if he's in you, then he can't be in me. Well, no, he is. He is all present in all things. And actually, Paul says in the book of Acts, in chapter 17, and we need to read that because that's very, very important. He says a very interesting thing, all-encompassing thing about God in chapter 17. He says, in verse 28, it says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." Have our being. We live and move and have our being. Now think of it. He was not talking to saved people. He was talking to lost people. They had more idols than probably anybody. They were Greek and they were philosophers, but they also they worshiped the creation. And so they had an idol to everything. And so Paul enters Athens and he sees the idols everywhere and he wonders, how in the world can I approach these people? And so he looks down and he sees a plaque written to the unknown God. And so basically they had put an idol up for everybody, but in everything they could think of. But in case there was a God they couldn't think of, we just call him the unknown God. We'll put that plaque there. So he pointed their attention to that plaque that said, this an idol to an unknown God. And then Paul says, "Let me declare him unto you." And this is what he says. Your poets say it right. "Because in him we live and move and have our being." My goodness, what are we saying? We're saying that even the unsaved is in him. He's saying we all are. We're in him, yes, but that does not mean that he is living his life in us, because through the fall, we declared our independence from him. We declared that we wanted to be separate from him. We wanted our own way. You see, and because of that, our minds were darkened, our hearts were darkened, and we've become fallen people. And sin has penetrated our being, in our thinking and in our being. So he was saying, yes, we were all created in the universe, because there is nothing but the universal God. Nothing but that. And we're in him, but we're not of God. I mean, he said of the Pharisees, "You are of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father you do." So to use this verse to say that that universal salvation is what we're saying is not true, because the next thing that Paul does, he declares Jesus Christ to them. And he talks about God sending his son and he raised him from the dead, and they walked away. But why? Because they didn't want to believe in the miraculous. And if you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you have to believe in the miraculous, because he raised him from the dead. Well, they didn't want to believe from that, and they went, psh, they couldn't believe that, because they were so intellectual and so bright that through their own minds, they thought they could conquer their lives, and they thought they could be their own God. So why would they need a God of the miraculous? They didn't believe it. They believed what they saw. They believed what they thought. They believed who they were instead of who God was. Now, we're going to continue this, because this is a mighty, mighty study on our awesome God, the God who made us, who created us, who predestined us to be conformed to his image, and live and causes us through his spirit to live forever. because he's an eternal God. So we're going to continue this next time. So thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. I hope that you've been blessed by today's program. These programs have been brought to you by Christ Our Life Ministries, based in Louisville, Kentucky. If you would like to know more about us, please check out our websites, www.theliberatingsecret.org and www.spiritbroadcasting.net. The Liberating Secret is our literary site. We offer many articles by many authors, and I have my own writings on it as well. You will find a bookstore where you will be able to purchase many of my own books and booklets, as well as other authors who also teach the truths of liberation. We have an online monthly newsletter that you might want to sign up for. Check it out. You're going to be blessed if you do. Now for our other website, which is the Spirit Broadcasting Network. All of our past TV and radio programs are being broadcast on this website. If you have a favorite program, you might want to find it here. If you are interested in any events such as conferences, retreats, or home meetings that we are conducting, please check out our calendar that you will find on both of our websites. We have an annual conference here in Louisville, Kentucky in May. It is always held the weekend after Mother's Day. We have great fellowship, great teaching, and great music by Ron Block, and that he's from Nashville. Twice a year, I teach a woman's retreat at Pawleys Island, South Carolina. Women, don't wait to sign up for Pawleys. You will love it. If you would like to have a meeting in your area, please email me at sylviap@theliberatingsecret.org. And thank you for joining us, and may God richly bless you. Goodbye.